Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. We are so delighted to be here with all of you. I know we have many visitors in the congregation today, and we just want to say thank you and welcome, and we're so glad that you came to Second B today. If we can be of any help to you, find us around the church, fill out a little card in front of you, or you can even scan the back of your worship guide just to let us know you were here and say hello, and we'll say hello right back to you. It just is an honor for us to get to know you a little bit more. Also, this morning, today is Casey Logsdon's last day with us. It is bittersweet. We've already done the tears, so now it's just all kinds of joy for this service. We love Casey, and we want to wish her well as she moves on to Connecticut this week. She's got a big travel adventure ahead of her. And thanks to Casey, we get to meet Ben Hinke next week, a friend of hers, who will be coming to be our interim music worship director for the next however long we are here. And we will welcome Ben next week, so I hope you get to know him. I'm excited about meeting him too, and we wish you all kinds of well and love, Casey. This week we have a new Lenten lunch speaker. Please plan to come with us if you're here at noon on Thursday. We'd love to have lunch with you, soups and sandwiches. We look forward to that time together. It's so much fun. The speaker speaks for about 15 minutes, and then we have a great lunch and good time together, and then we promise to get you back to work or rest or wherever you go for the rest of the day. And then coming up in just a few weeks is our Easter extravaganza, and all of you are welcome and invited. Thank you so much to those of you who are bringing your stuffed eggs and putting them in our bin out here. It's very exciting for the kids to see each week the eggs growing inside there, and it'll be such a fun time. Hopefully we'll have really great weather that weekend, and we'll be outside celebrating for Easter on Palm Sunday weekend. Now let's just take a minute, prepare yourselves with me for worship today. Take a deep breath and let's be still and be ready for the service today. The Lord be with you. I invite you, as you're able, to stand with me for our call to worship this morning. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. From where does my help come from?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
We look not to the mountains or valleys, even heaven or earth. Wherever two or three are gathered in Christ's name.
God is here among us.
Come, let us worship the God of creation, the God of people, and the God of community. Let us worship together in faith. Amen.
Oh,
Would you all pray with me, please? God of all creation, who loves each of us equally, we sing praises to you and to your holy name today. Lord, we seek your guidance, we seek your comfort, and we seek your praise this week as we move through this Lenten season, Lord. Be with each of us. Talk to us and speak to our hearts so that we know what you might be wanting to say. Lord, we thank you for the doors of Second Baptist Church, for those that come in and those that go out, Lord. We get to do so much because of the people in this church and because of you. And God, we say a special prayer today for Casey Logsdon. Send our love with her on her new journey. Keep her safe as she goes and fill her heart with all kinds of joy and all kinds of love. God, we thank you for the gift of Second Baptist Church and for the gift of your love. It is in your most holy name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm here on behalf of your Vision leadership team this morning to express our appreciation and support for the reluctant Casey Logsdon as she leaves. Any life of faith, be it individual or corporate, is marked throughout by bittersweet moments. And today is just such a moment for us because we gather to say thank you and farewell and best wishes to our interim pastor of music and worship, Casey Logsdon, and all of her friends. Casey has accepted a position in Greenwich, Connecticut as a music assistant in a thriving Episcopalian community. When Scott Harrington retired last year, the VLT scrambled to find an interim pastor of music and worship, and Jake came to a VLT meeting one night and said, "I've come across a name, Casey Logsdon. What do you think?" And so we decided to give it a try. And that's how it was. That is how Casey came to be a part of us these last 8 months. She has crafted thoughtful and creative worship in her time here. And I would share a personal moment. I was so happy to hear Fall Asleep Counting Your Blessings. I think it would have made my mother so happy to hear a song from her generation. But more important than that, she has become a part of us. And we hope we have become a part of her. To continue and extend Jake's theme last week of dissension with the evil Connecticut, I immediately thought of the Apostle Paul sitting in a Roman prison awaiting execution in first century Rome, and these words seemed appropriate for you in a move to Connecticut. The only good thing Connecticut ever did for us was Betsy Bass. So we have dissension. We have issues with Connecticut, the far, far country. Paul writes to a beloved community at Philippi, a community that he was separated from and he longed to be united with. Okay, so you know the drill. Give your hand. To you, Casey, grace and peace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and even from our Lord, even Jesus Christ. We thank God upon every remembrance of you and the time you have lived among us. Always, in every prayer of ours for you, we will make with joy. Thankful for you, your shared partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And we are confident in this thing that the God who began a good work in you will bring it to completion, even in Connecticut. It is right for us to feel thus about you because we will hold you in our hearts.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
And we, as a church, want to send with Casey our love to represent her love of First Church Ministry leading worship. And we would like for you to hang this on your wall. If you can't see it in the back, it's a heart with a bunch of music notes in it for you to remember us and us to send our love with you as you go this year. We're so very grateful for you. We love you. Yes.
As you may well know, these shawls of prayer are made by our Happy Hookers ministry. And this is what the church has always been doing from the very beginning, is commissioning and sending in the name of Christ. And so as we offer a prayer for this blessing, more importantly, a prayer of blessing, more importantly, a prayer of commissioning for Casey, we invite you to join with us together. May God's grace be upon this shawl, comforting, enfolding, and embracing. May this mantle be a safe haven, a sacred place of security, sustaining and embracing in good times as well as difficult ones. May the one who receives this shawl be cradled in hope, kept in joy, graced with peace, and wrapped in love. Blessed be. Amen. Thank you.
Girls, as they're finding their seats, I'd love for you to come out of yours and come join me up at the front for children's time today if you'd like to. I'll get that back in there. There we go. Yeah, y'all come on down. We have a bunch of kiddos here today. I'm so happy to see your faces. Glad you're here. We have some new friends today. I'm glad you guys are here especially. Thanks for coming down. Hope you're having a good week. I think we are on the final countdown to spring break, about one more week, right? And then you're on spring break. Woohoo! Okay, so you can do it. You can get through this week. Yes, Eva.
I need a bracelet for Casey.
Oh, that was very nice. At the end of, and you have that too, Play-Doh for her too. At the end of church, you can give that to her. That will be so very sweet. I want to tell you guys, hey, Barrett, come on down. Come join us. I'm glad you're here. I want to tell you guys what happened. You can sit next to Eva if you want to. Yeah, right there next to Johnny. That's perfect. So this week, y'all, I found myself in a heap of trouble. Does anybody know what these are? Does anybody know what these are?
Yes.
What are they, Max? These are things to start a car. Does anybody know what they're called? What are they called, Graham? Kind of like grabbers. That's what I would have called them for certain. Things to start the car and grabbers. The official term is jumper cables, because guess what happened to my car?
Let me guess. It broke down.
Oh, it sure did. It was dead. Dead, dead, dead. I got somewhere and I came out to get in my car and push the button and nothing happened, right? And I thought, it's okay. You don't have to put the keys in anymore. You just touch the button if the key is in your pocket or whatever. So I pushed the button and nothing happened. And I thought, that's okay. It's fine. I have my phone, and I can use some jumper cables, right? Yeah. And I can make it work. Well, the only problem is, what do you need if you have your... I needed a whole nother car and another person, right? But if for some reason my phone had also been dead, or I was with a place with no service, then I would have really been in a big time heap of trouble, because your phone is great when it works, right? And your phone is not so great when it doesn't work. So luckily, there was another person that I could go talk to. And I said, hey, come, would you mind helping me out here? I've got a little bit of a problem. We need to use some cables. We need to get my car started. And luckily this person came and they said, hey, I know exactly what you do. You put the red to the red and the black to the black, and make sure you don't touch these things together, because I didn't know that. If you touch the red to the, I don't know, if you touch something, it's gonna cause some kind of major problem. And you know, thank the Lord that I had a person that knew what not to do when I'm using these fancy little jumper cables, right? Whew, I was so grateful. And I was thinking a little bit about our lesson today. Our Bible verse today says, my help comes from the Lord, right? My help comes from the Lord. Okay, does my help come from my cell phone? No, it doesn't, because it doesn't work all the time. And sometimes I don't even know what to Google when I'm looking for it, right? And I don't know which one to search. But luckily, do you know how the Lord showed up to me that day when my car was dead?
There's somebody there.
Yes, in the form of this other person, right? Thank God that there was somebody else there when I was in this time of trouble, because I needed someone else to say, hey, Cheryl, we're going to do this safely. We're going to do it carefully, and we're going to get you on your merry way so you can go, right? And that's kind of what our verse is about today. My help comes from the Lord. We know that we're not going to see Jesus' face appear to us, right? Right here in the middle of the parking lot. But we do know that we are each created in Christ's image, right? By Jesus and in Christ's image. So I'm very grateful that I have this God that loves me enough to care for me. Even when times aren't great, and even when things are going rough, I know that God is going to walk me through it so that I can handle it in whatever way I need to, right? To get through it and to move on. And that is what my help comes from the Lord means to me, and what meant to me this week. And so I hope that you guys know that you can ask for prayers to God. You can pray and you can say thank you. You can say, you know what, this is a really rough day. This is a really hard time. I just need a little bit of patience and a little bit of care to get through it. And I bet that God will speak to you in some way, maybe through the form of another person, right? Or through a verse that you've heard. Will you guys pray with me? God, I thank you so much for your help and for your love and for the time that you spend on each and every one of us. You know us by name. You send us your love through others and through these children especially. God, in your holy name, I pray for these children this week. Amen. Okay, if you guys are going back to preschool praise, Caitlin is here today. She's going to take you back. Otherwise, you may sit with your parents. Lainey, you want to go to preschool praise?
Our reading from the psalm this morning is from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning. I'd like to read you a poem from a gentleman named Anthony Horton. He goes by the name Blind Tony. And when I first heard this poem, it was resonating with my heart. And so I'd like to share it with you. He writes, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad because in God's presence I am very much adored. He fills me with joy and surrounds me with peace. My patience, self-control, and faith all increase. And as I unburden my heart of its worries and care and seek his direction in all my affairs, he provides me with a shalom after I pray that takes all of my fears and anxieties away. And then he fills me overflowing with his sweet Holy Spirit, and I am humbled and very much honored that he has allowed me to draw near it. And then explosions of love seem to break out all over the place, showering me with favor, mercy, and grace. I pray for godly wisdom to always cherish this place so richly abundant in mercy and grace. And that is why when they say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, I become very happy because I know it is a place I am very much adored. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Gospel reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person. Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anybody be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
I went to the restroom a minute ago and hit the mute button on purpose. I want to thank you for your presence, your voice, your song, your smile. It's a primary way that we believe that Christ is here, that Christ has risen, is through you. And so thanks for your morning. It's just a privilege and a joy to worship with you. And if there's any way that we can be of help to you, any way that we can follow up, particularly if there's any way that we might pray with and or for you, invite you to use those cards that are available to you right in front of you. Number 6, verses 24 and 5 begins, "The Lord bless you and keep you. May the divine face, may the countenance of God be upon you and be gracious to you. This is your benediction. You may now get up and leave. The service is over." it's an incredible word given to the Israelite people as they have been taken out of Egypt in slavery and bondage, delivered through this extended desert wilderness, brought into a new land. And it will take a generation or so, or even longer, for them to settle into this new place. And they're given this incredible blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And as you may be familiar, I enjoy taking creative license, a little liberty here. And one of the things that I like to think about with this blessing is that the Lord will bless you and keep you and the divine face. And this, I believe, at the core of who I am, that the divine face sees you and smiles. I mean, come on. The God of all creative power and glory sees you and smiles. You just puff your chest up a little bit and be like, "God sees me and smiles. I don't know." What an incredible legacy that the church, that those who identify, at least in some regard, as Christian, would be those who are known as thinking that God smiles upon them, that Christians in our world would be those who proclaim to other people, you know what, God sees you and smiles. What a good word. Dear Jake, I thought we were in the Psalms through Lent. Very good. You're keeping score at home. Very good. This word in number 6, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is the same word in Hebrew, keep, that we receive 8 times in this short Psalm 121. Thank you, Mark, for reading that, sharing your voice with our congregation. 8 times this word in Psalm 121, particularly verses 2-8, 8 times the Lord keeps, the Lord will keep, the Lord is keeper. You are kept. You are kept in the very palm of God. And God smiles at you. This is a good word. This is an encouraging word. This word keep is an old word, actually. Older than even numbers. Robert Alter and others have suggested that this Psalm 121 is maybe a travel psalm. I don't know what your sort of road trip playlist is like, but it is likely that in ancient Israel, this psalm would have been recited by tribes and families, particularly a little bit later on, as they were journeying maybe to Jerusalem to celebrate worship in one of the high and holy days. Similarly, in Numbers, the people are traveling. They're traveling into a new place, having been delivered from God through the long wilderness. They're traveling. This psalm is a travel psalm. And in fact, many of our psalms, our prayer book, is a collection of hymns, a collection of prayers, like much of our scripture, that is borrowed from older Canaanite tradition. And that it's possible that this psalm, as are many of the psalms, are actually borrowed from Canaanite songs of worship. This is true throughout our history, stories of floods and arks and giants and people swallowed up by fish. These are all shared stories that come from an older Ugaritic and Canaanite tradition. Similarly here, that's what we encounter with Psalm 121. It was a psalm that was previously used by the Canaanite religions in honor and worship of their Baal and their Asherah, their god. And as common as in the ancient world, deification included in large part a battle and victory. The gods in the ancient world were largely those whom could be attributed gratitude and offering for their delivering of a specific group of people in battle, particularly in conquering other people. And so in this psalm, Psalm 121, the holy name of God is used. This is the holy name of God that our Jewish brothers and sisters and friends regard above and before all other names. This is the name of God that is revealed to Moses in the burning bush. In English, you may read it as L-O-R-D, all caps, Yahweh, Haveh in Hebrew. And these words are connected to breath. These letters in Hebrew are connected to breath. And so many will translate this holy name of God as I live, or I am, connected to life. Whereas so much of ancient deification and ancient concepts of God were connected to conquering, the God that our Bible reveals is connected to life. And this holy name is used throughout this psalm. In fact, many of the Baals, many of the ancient gods were depicted in warrior form. And as is common in sort of in pictorialization of the gods of ancient peoples, it was common for that pictorialization to be a bull. And so our story suggests, as Moses comes down from the mountain, and the people have created a bull, which they have seen all these other tribes to create some sort of bull, some sort of representation of the God who does conquering of other peoples. And God says, I cannot be contained by a bull. I am beyond, deeper, more true than the conquering of other people. Whereas where all the other gods are interested in doing battle with other people, I am the God of life. As in all these other gods are interested in conquering other nations, I am the God who keeps. I am the God who smiles. And I think we see this most true, certainly in our tradition, this is most evident in the Christ, who does not come into town to conquer Jerusalem as all the other quote-unquote messiahs had done before, in some sort of militaristic victory. No, Jesus throughout his life, the Christ throughout his life, does not conquer, but instead blesses, heals, forgives, rightly defining in our text and rightly defining in all of reality what true victory looks like, which is not the conquering of other peoples. Rather, true victory is holding, smiling, keeping, blessing, forgiving. And this is what our psalm, verses 2-8, celebrate. It really is a radical transformation, revolutionary concept of the divine that is presented throughout our scripture and is really key here in verses 2-8 of our psalm. Now, Walter Brueggemann, I've included about 6 books of his out in the entryway if you'd like to check it out. Walter Brueggemann suggests that in the Psalms, you could find each psalm fits into one of 3 categories. And I would contend even further that all of life fits into one of these 3 categories. Brueggemann suggests all the psalms fit into a category either of orientation, disorientation, or reorientation. I have preached this sermon before this morning. It was great. Should have been there. Reorientation. If you think about your life, so much of our life fits into these categories. And this is known in more technical spheres, philosophy and theology, it's known as dialectics, meaning that there is a thesis, a suggestion of truth, that there is an antithesis, a critique of that which is suggested to be true, and then there is a synthesis, taking into account that which was originally asserted as true in a thesis, that which was critiqued through an antithesis, and bringing it together into a new true statement known as a synthesis. This is known as dialectical philosophy or theology. Paul Tillich, the great 19th, 20th century theologians out of Europe, suggests that this is, in fact, a good rubric to understanding all of Scripture, particularly as it pertains to making true statements about God, right? So a thesis, an antithesis, and then a synthesis. Further, this is my dance move, by the way. This is all that I'm allowed to do, okay? Okay, it's a good one, right? Just to show an example, for those of you who are Kyrie Irving fans, thesis, right? Originally, for a very long time, the world was thought to be flat. And then, particularly for those who are exploring the crust of the earth, made a suggestion that the earth is not flat, right? And therefore, bringing together these two, this thesis of flatness, this antithesis of non-flatness, and then the synthesis becomes that the earth is not flat, right? That it is round. Yeah, very good. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. In fact, dialectical philosophy and theology suggests that the new synthesis does not stay there, it keeps going. That the new synthesis, as is the case in all our life, where the reorientation becomes the new orientation and continues to receive another antithesis, right? And this is true for life, this is true for... So even further, the earth is flat, the earth is not flat, the earth is round. Einstein comes along and critiques Kyrie Irving and says, the earth is not round. Space and time is round as it is bent by gravity. And we won't go any further than that, but just so you know, it keeps going. That the new synthesis becomes actually the thesis, and it continues to critique itself, moving us forward. And this applies, I believe, in large regard as to what healthy human development looks like, healthy learning looks like. Now, Brueggemann says that all of the Psalms, and you see, all the Psalms speak to life, the fullness of life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Wah, wah, wah. The fullness of life exists in the Psalms. And this is why it's easy for Brueggemann to say all of the Psalms can fit into this categorization either as orientation, disorientation, or reorientation. Goodness gracious God Almighty, heaven help us. It's my first sermon. Thank you for entertaining me. Right, all of the Psalms, as is all of life, lives often somewhere on this spectrum. And so this second part of the psalm, verses 2 through 8, celebrating the God who keeps, is either an orientation or a reorientation. They're actually the same thing as we've seen the progression. But the psalm does not begin there. The psalm does not begin in this joyful note of God keeps me and keeps all things. It begins with disorientation. Where will my help come from? Like the great travel psalm, similar maybe to the Good Samaritan narrative, those traveling through the tight places in life, looking to the mountains left and right, not necessarily as objects of worship, but objects of concern and danger. Where does my help come from? And I would like to suggest to you, despite my inability to say words clearly, I am a good pastor. I can put a sermon into 3 points. Here we go. I would just like to suggest, at least for our purposes this morning, there are three people. There are three seasons. There are three stages to life. And one of those is not neither the first nor the last, but one of those is this incredible season of verses 2 through 8. Where we can celebrate the Lord keeps. The Lord is a God who smiles, a God who protects and loves and forgives. And the second type of, and maybe you're in, the, and it's so, it's interesting that consists of 2 through 8 verses. It's incredible. And yet in one verse, the first verse, where will my help come from? There can be what feels like an eternity there. And this is the second person. This is the second season. This is the second stage. It's when we cry out, and I imagine either you have been, you are, you soon will be, or someone you love is currently in this season. Of where will my help come from? And this is me doing my very best. You know, what was one of the worst things is for someone who's in that season, for someone in that space of where does my help come from, really? I mean, really. You know what one of the worst things is for that person? Is for them to talk to a preacher. preacher, we're so good at offering. We'll just, friends of ours visit churches all over the country, and one friend says, I went and visited a church, and they were so friendly. They talked to me. I felt welcome. Go church, that sort of thing. We talked to another friend who went. This friend was in that season of where does my help come from? And seeking some comfort and seeking some sort of reorientation. And it goes to church, and we talked to, hey, how did it go? How did it go visiting that great church, that great pastor? And our friend said, it was great. Nobody talked to me. Right? Yeah. Where does my help come from? And the third person, the third season, the third sort of stage I'd like to consider with you is this space in between verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 says, where does my help come from? Total disorientation. And by verse 2, it's like joy to the world. What has happened in between those two verses? And this is known by many of the great spiritual teachers as a liminal space. This is known by the greatest of all spiritual teachers, Dave Matthews, as the space between. Yeah. And I'm imagining either you have been, you currently are, you soon will be, or someone you love dearly is currently in this kind of space. It's a space between spaces. It's similar to our travel. When we have left one location, when we have left one thing, when we have left one, identification, whatever, and we have set out for, turned our face, our countenance to, but we have not yet arrived there. In fact, some use this as a rubric for all of the New Testament, that the very fullness of God has arrived, the very reality of God has arrived fully in the person of Christ, and yet it is not yet fully known completely. Yeah. Yeah. And it can be difficult to be in this space between spaces. And for those of you who are in the verses 2-8 space where like the Lord keeps you and you smile, right? It can be hard to be around you specifically, right? Because when you're in this space and nothing seems to be home. Now, John Philip Newell, and if you would just Google him later, near to sort of like a Robert Earl, James Earl Jones, John Philip Newell's voice, I believe, will prove that God exists. And just go listen to him read the phone book, and you will praise the Lord. And John Philip Newell, part of this Iona community, suggests reading Nicodemus, which we won't get into much, although we've received it today as a gospel reading, suggests to, in response to Nicodemus, and again, this is a metaphor. All language is, in fact, metaphor. All language breaks down as all metaphor breaks down. Paul Tillich says, as soon as we've used the word God, we have already and instantaneously referred to something that's less than, okay? So John Philip Newell says, in response to this Nicodemus parable about being born again, Newell says that God is a midwife. And something new is being birthed. But particularly in this liminal in-between space, God the midwife is present to a lot of stretching. God is present to a lot, and which is where I would like to end. What an honor. And I believe this is the legacy of Second Baptist Church, as best I can tell. What a joy, what a privilege, and even half a step further, what a responsibility we have as a community, as a people, yes, to join together and say, God is our keeper. God smiles. And also, for our friends in verse 1, what a joy, what an honor, what a responsibility we have as a community of faith. When our friends cry out, where in the world could my help possibly come from? What a privilege it is that we have the opportunity to not say anything at all. But as a community formed by Christ, what we do is we just hold space. We protect sacred space for people to experience the fullness of this question and people to experience in safety and in grace the fullness of being stretched, such that we might all know that the Lord blesses you, that the Lord keeps you, and that the Lord always, always smiles upon you. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship.
Thank you. Please join me in prayer. Loving Father, the psalmist reminds us again of our outreach, of our need for your help. We ask for it, Father, and whether it is out of last resort or first response, your loving spirit puts no condition or qualification upon it. You keep us, Father, as only you can, and that kept spirit, that relationship, Father, brings only what you can provide: peace, joy, comfort, healing, forgiveness, Father. And we praise your name because of not only who you are, but what you do. What's our response? Father, today we bring our gifts to further your kingdom, Father, and more importantly, Father, we bring our hearts and our souls in service to your good work, Father, because we have received. Surely we ought to give. Father, may your face shine brightly upon Casey. Bless her as only you can in her travels and in her new adventure. And we thank you for her time here and for her beautiful voice and her beautiful spirit, Father. Father, we know that you hear us better than we speak. We offer these prayers in your most holy and healing name. Amen.
May the smile of Christ be upon you and bless you. Let's stand and share in that smile together. Well, I just looked it up, and Connecticut's not even a real state. So you don't have to go. Join with me one final time in thanking Casey. Yeah. Go with God, my friend. That phrase didn't mean much to me about 5 years ago, but that phrase has been transformed by this community that means it when they say it. So go with God. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. And if you're not in that kind of space and season, it's just fine if you frown. But for those of you who'd like to, may you smile together in the peace of Christ. Amen.